Welcome to The Wrap, a weekly podcast covering women's sports news. Bez, what have we got around the grounds this week?
We need 200,000 people to fill in the bloody big survey. Talk more about that later, obviously. Football icon Lydia Williams retires from the Matildas and the WNBA is heading to Toronto.
For the key story, we'll chat about an absolute debacle that happened in the Suncorp Super Netball game last night. We're recording on Sunday today. This will come out on Tuesday, so this is confusing for the listeners. But I'm off to Japan on Monday, so we had to get it done a little bit early.
Someone's going on holidays.
I'm excited, so don't send me an email.
No, she's out of office, people.
My name is Chloe Dalton. I'm joined every week on the show by my co-host, Bez. We're recording on Gadigal land. Let's take a look around the grounds. Bit of survey news. So, Bez, as you said, Share the Dignity, they do a survey. It's called the Bloody Big Survey. They're trying to get 200,000 respondents. I was just looking on their website before. I think they're at about 144,000 respondents. So what they found is, as a lot of women know, there's a real lack of data when it comes to menstruation. They are trying to advocate for change in that space for people who experience really serious period poverty, and they're seeking people to fill out their survey that's aimed at learning and understanding more about attitudes, behaviors, and shortcomings related to periods. So I'm going to put the link in the show notes so you can learn a little bit more about that one.
And you've got till May 31st, so get on it.
Get on it.
In some rugby union news, the Wallaroos opened their Pack 4 series on Saturday night in Sydney with a 33-14 loss to Canada. The Canadians were really strong in set piece and they scored all their tries through that powerful weapon. The driving maul from the line out was exceptional, and their scrum won 4 of the Wallaroos feeds. So
Ouch.
They're definitely stats that the Aussies will be looking to reverse when they take on the USA in Melbourne on Friday night. If they can get their set piece working, and I think they're probably lacking a little bit of punch in the middle. We were last night. Yep, Saturday, it's Sunday.
It's hard to
no one knows what day it is.
Nobody
on
knows.
Saturday. I think if they can do those things, so obviously sort out those set piece shortcomings and just get over the advantage line more often in the middle of the field. We've got some amazing edge forwards and some great outside backs. We'll find space, but I think we were just lacking that midfield punch on Saturday. The USA were outclassed by the Black Ferns in New Zealand, going down 57-5. So this Friday is a must-win for both teams. It's a top 3 teams from the Pack 4 series qualify for WXV1 later in the year.
And pre-match, you got to go to a Wallaroos reunion.
As a plus one.
You were one of those. I was almost a Wallaroo.
Went to I got invited to a training camp. I said no.
Because of the beep test?
Yeah, pretty much. I knew my skills at that age.
I think what is very cool, not cool about the fact that you weren't actually a Wallaroo, but it's amazing to see more effort being put in the women's space to recognize alumni and former players, because that's one of the things in the women's game that has really been lacking.
It was a really amazing buzz in that room. There was probably, I don't know, between 40 and 50 women there. Some hadn't seen each other for up to 20 years.
Wow.
It was a real amazing vibe. And just think little things like they had a heap of kit out, like old jerseys,
awesome.
Old training gear. I just think most of it was Selena Worsley's. And then at the end, we were still there and I was talking to Sel at the time, and the archivist, the RA have a proper archivist, was putting her stuff back into a like tissue wrapped box with black gloves on. And I was like, Stella, I'd be using gloves if I was touching your jersey too, just quietly.
Never got a wash.
They had a whole heap of information up and cap numbers and photos. And yeah, it was really great. And it's probably overdue, but it's very welcome from RA to be putting in the classic Wallaroos to be putting some time into this. It's great.
Amazing. In athletics, world pole vault champion Nina Kennedy has made an impressive start to her Diamond League campaign. Kennedy finished second in her first international competition of the year, being only on count back by Great Britain's world indoor champion Molly Cordery. Both leapers, polers, vaulters.
I like polers.
Both polers. What do you reckon? What is the short?
Vaulters, I think.
Both vaulters. I'm a vaulter. I'm not, but I'm, you know, getting in the zone.
Heard it here first. Next sport.
At pole vaulters, please help us in the comment section of this one.
Vaulters.
They both soared over 4.73 metres on their first attempts to separate themselves from the field before the bar of 4.83 metres proved too high for the rising duo, who passed at 4.78 metres. Kennedy had one miss at 4.53, which came back to haunt her on the old count back. Didn't you hate that? Did you ever do high jump in school athletics? The face you just gave.
Absolutely not.
Not your strength.
How long have we been friends for? 2 minutes?
Well, I enjoyed high jump back in my day.
But you didn't enjoy a count back.
I didn't enjoy a count back. It comes to haunt you like it did for our mate Nina Kennedy. Oh, gosh. Anyway, on to Jessica Hull, friend of TFAP. She was immense in a very physical 1,500 metres that
a bit of a jostle going on. I love that.
Which is quite interesting in a race that is technically a very non-contact sport.
Happens a bit in those distance events, though.
Yeah, it does.
Jostling for position.
Yeah.
Isn't jostle a great word?
Great word. Someone keep us on the straight and narrow here. Goodness me. She finished strongly to also take second in 4 minutes flat, 0.84. Still need to work on my time pronunciation. Just behind Ethiopia's Freweni Hailu, who was about 0.4 of a second ahead of her. And in difficult windy conditions, 2022 world champ Eleanor Patterson was back in peak high jumping form, clearing 1.91 to claim third place.
Not as good as Chloe Dolan at school, though. In football, Lydia Williams, a proud Noongar woman and longest-serving Matilda, has announced she will retire from international football at the conclusion of the Paris Olympics.
This is devastating.
Expected.
19 years is probably, probably a decent time to serve your country, I reckon.
She first represented the Matildas in 2005. I think she deserves a break.
Good on her.
Williams is a goalkeeping legend and has played for the Matildas 103 times over a 19-year career. She's been to 5 World Cups and one AFC Women's Asia Cup title. Williams told media, after a lot of thought and discussion with my family and friends, now seems like the right time to announce I'll be stepping away from international football following the end of Paris 2024 Olympics. It has been an absolute honour and privilege to represent my country, my heritage, my sport, my family, and many teammates over the past 19 years. Playing for the Combat Matildas across FIFA Women's World Cups, Olympics, and Asian Cups has provided me with memories and friendships that I will cherish for the rest of my life.
Congratulations, Lydia. Also, if you do want to hear a little bit more from her, we had her on the podcast just a few weeks back. So,
yeah, it was a great chat.
Scroll back a little bit and you'll find her there.
Yep. Get it in your ears.
In basketball, some more big WNBA news. The commissioner, Kathy Engelbert, announced that a full league-wide charter flight program will be phased in beginning with the start of the 2024 regular season. They are making it happen quickly, aren't they?
They sure are.
The charter flight topic has been a hot one amongst the playing group after having to fly on crowded, delayed, and sometimes cancelled domestic flights. In February of 2022, the WNBA raised $75 million US dollars in capital and has been deploying the capital in strategic areas such as marketing, digital transformation, globalization, and fan engagement. With the buzz around the upcoming season, it looks like they're banking on the old Clarkonomics, Bez, bringing in even more investment to the game.
There is a big buzz.
There is a big buzz. What did you say the other day about?
It's almost like they've had a little futures bet here. Like,
taking out a mortgage on Caitlin Clark.
Pretty much.
I don't mind it.
No, here for it.
Go buy a really big house on Caitlin Clark. I'd back you in.
You think that applies to us as well?
Yes.
There are also reports from ESPN that WNBA is in the final stages of negotiations to add a Toronto franchise for the 2026 season. So the Golden State, so there's teams coming next year from Golden State.
Has that been confirmed?
Yes.
Yeah, cool. And yes, think, it has been, hasn't it?
And I think Port, so that's next year, and then Toronto sounds like very certain for 2026, and Portland's still making noise as well. So the official announcement for the Toronto edition is expected on May 23rd, and it'll be a big reward, I think, for Canadian fans who last season sold out 20,000-seat Scotiabank Arena for a Chicago Sky versus Minnesota Lynx game. So that's great.
Yeah.
The people have spoken. The organization has listened. And some more expansion news. I guess it's not really expansion, but a new license in the WNBA. The WNBL, who announced that Geelong United would take over the license that was previously held by the Melbourne Boomers. The team will play out of Geelong Arena and will be added to the 2024-25 season.
I think the Boomers were pretty devastated about that one.
Yeah, that's rough.
It is rough for a club that's had a huge amount of success.
We won the title 2 years ago, didn't it?
Yeah, it was just recently.
Yeah.
But keen to see how Geelong gets around this new team.
Yeah, it's a good. I think it's a pretty interesting move from what is really, obviously a decent sized city that only has one team or one club, as in Geelong Cats. I think it'll be good for them.
Quick shout out before we get into the key story. Welcoming Sophie, our new producer, who's online with us, watching away. She's coming on board to work across the podcast and our newsletter, which is super exciting. And a big thanks to Bailey, who's been on board doing the production for I think 3.5 years. I was doing the maths. Crazy. And to Riley, who's done the newsletter for a number of weeks. Soph is always also
a number of weeks.
Did I say weeks?
Yeah.
Definitely years.
Definitely.
Sorry, Riley. I really sold you short there.
Just she only started the other day.
Didn't go well.
Didn't go well. We let her go.
Riley, number of years, I reckon at least 18 months. And Bez, research for however long. You're not going anywhere. You're still co-hosting. But Soph's coming on to take on lots of roles, which is amazing. But, yeah, big, big thanks to those people who will still be involved in TFAP in, just in different capacities, which is exciting. Thought I'd give them a quick shout out.
Yeah, I love that. Thanks, guys. It takes a village.
Takes an absolute village to raise the TFAP child. Let's take a look at the key story. In netball, Bez.
Yeah, unfortunately, all the Suncorp Super Netball news at the moment is centered on the farce that took place in the game between the GWS Giants and the Sunshine Coast Lightning.
Go the Giants.
Thank you. The result was debated. The result was debated for more than 35 minutes with a full recount done of the fourth quarter. So I'm assuming they sat down.
They did. I think they
the
sat down and went
again.
Through every single goal.
This is mind-blowing.
It was so bizarre.
So the scoreboard had shown that the Lightning won by a goal.
Yeah, so the scoreboard at the game said 71-70.
But scoring program champion data had it as a 71 all draw. And I believe both benches score as well. And I think the Giants bench said, no, it's a draw.
The Giants bench thought it was a draw while the last 90 seconds was going.
I believe so, yeah.
Oh, interesting. Because the TV said 71 all.
Yeah. Crazy. So having believed the game was over, the umpires and the Lightning players headed to the sheds, but the Giants stayed on court expecting extra time and kind of continued to stay warm.
Yeah.
Little joggy jogs across the court.
The old joggy jogs.
And when the score was finally confirmed as 71 all, there was some more debate because it's a new rule that they play overtime now.
Which I'm so here for overtime.
Draws suck.
In AFL, they just stick to draws and it's really disappointing.
It's super flat. And I think in sports like netball and AFL, like rugby union, I get for finals, but it's not as easy to score in say, a 10-minute period.
Yes.
Whereas in the AFL and netball, if you don't score in 10 minutes, there's something severely wrong.
That's very true.
A point or, you know, like
something.
Something.
Just anything.
So a game like that can be decided, I think should be.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So that's obviously a new rule this year. And it just went from one calamity to another. The umpires, they couldn't find the umpires. After they finally made the decision that, yep, it's a draw, we're going to extra time, they couldn't find the umps.
Maybe they were down the road at Subway having a feed and they tapped out for the night.
Cup of tea, I reckon, the umps. Anyway, they were located. They put down their foot long and they got the whistles out.
We didn't even plan that. That was quite good.
Subway's partnership coming in hot. And the overtime period started nearly an hour after the match finished.
There's just like so many issues. Well, you can say the score situation.
So the Giants dominated overtime 11-1. So the Lightning obviously just should have stayed in the sheds.
Go the Giants. There's so many things to discuss here. Probably number one is the fact that it's ridiculous that this has happened. It's a really, really poor error for a professional competition. And I think the second thing was how it was then handled. Like what is happening there with the level of injury risk to those players?
The time frame, once it had taken 35 minutes to do the recount, at that stage, I feel like they should have said, okay, we've made a mistake here. Like almost like this game is either actually declared a draw or unfortunately we reschedule it and we play it again. Because at that stage, you're not getting a true result.
And I would have guess that they might have had parameters in place for things like, well, they don't really have weather impacting them.
Wet weather.
But like, was there a light issue?
A blackout?
A blackout, that's what they call it, a little while ago.
I hate light issues.
I would imagine that there's a kind of a maximum amount of time that it's safe to continue playing.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of weird that it just seems like all protocol went out the window and they said, off you go, good luck, get back out there.
They gave the Lightning a 10-minute warm-up period before the extra time.
It's very bizarre.
And they had three girls coming back that have recently had knee injuries that they was concerned about.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's rough.
It is rough. But go the Giants, got the first win. We'll take that.
Doesn't matter how it happened.
Stop it. Let's take a look at what to watch.
The WNBA season is here and the New York Liberty host the Washington Mystics today, Tuesday, when you're listening. In the opening game, tip-off is 9 a.m. AEST and you can catch all the action live on the WNBA League Pass. We bought one last week.
Yeah, we did.
I watched a trial. It's bloody excellent.
Right.
Do it. Do yourself a favor because 30 minutes later, Clark era lifts off. Apparently, I think the Indiana Fever had a their final preseason game last night.
Mm.
The crowd was three times bigger than their normal average league crowd from last year for like a trial. Is it a trial? Preseason game.
Yeah. Huge.
Massive.
A pracky, they call it.
It's not called a pracky. That's one of the most ridiculous things. That's right up there with a corky. What the hell?
Corky,
it's a cork.
AFL have their own terms, don't they?
So 30 minutes later, the Clark era does lift off with Indiana Fever playing at the Connecticut Sun. Top off is 9:30 a.m.
Game one of the State of Origin is this Thursday night. It's Origin week. How good. 16th of May at Suncorp Stadium in Brisbane. Kickoff will be 7:45 p.m. And if you're in Brisbane, get to Suncorp Stadium. But if you're not, watch it live on the Nine Network.
And the Wallaroos will face the USA in game two of the Pac-4 series on Friday night in Melbourne. The match is at Amy Park. Kickoff is 4:55 p.m. It's before the Rebels game. You can watch all the action live on 9Gem and Stan Sport. Go the Wallaroos.
On Saturday, the West Coast Fever hosts the Adelaide Thunderbirds at RAC Arena. First v. third on the ladder, and it will be a cracker. The match starts at 5 p.m. local time, 7 p.m. AEST, and is live on KO and Fox Netball. That's the wrap.
That is the wrap. Have an amazing time in Japan.
Thank you very much.
If you're in Japan and you see Chloe, please get a photo with her. It's pretty, like, getting recognised around here is kind of cool. Getting recognised in Japan would be next level.
I'll still be seeing you from my... We'll do a virtual pod next week.
Oh, thought I had a week off.
Ooh. We'll discuss that off air with the boss.
Head of operations, me.
Bye.